I'm Gene Bennett, and I was with the Cincinnati Reds for like 58 years. I signed as a player back in 1952 and played up through 1957. And then I started scouting in 1958, and I scouted up through 1975, and then I was a scouting supervisor for Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, Michigan, Ontario, Canada. And I did that up to 1991, and then I was the senior special assistant to the general manager from 1991 up until I retired in 2010.
When you were a kid, how did you get hooked on baseball? Were there certain teams you followed and certain players that you followed as a child?
When I was a kid growing up, that was a long, long time ago. There wasn't much to even get involved in with baseball. I would hear a little bit on the radio. It was always the Cincinnati Reds. And then every little burg around would try to get 8 or 9 or 7 or 6 guys together and play a little game. And that's where it all started.
So you played as an amateur, and then eventually the Reds signed you to a contract. Is that how it went?
Yes, I graduated from Wheelersburg High School, and then I went on and played amateur baseball, American Legion baseball, and all that kind of things. And then I was playing in a coal miners' league in Huntington, West Virginia, and a scout for the Cincinnati Reds, Buzz Boyle, followed me up there and saw me play a few games and signed me to a contract.
Were you an outfielder, is that correct?
I was an outfielder, yes.
Now, how old were you when you became a scout, and why did you go into scouting?
When I quit playing, I was, gosh, I don't even remember. I was probably 27 or 6 or something like that. And I busted my shoulder up playing, and I couldn't throw one hardly across the room. So I knew then that my day as a player was over with. And when the season was about over, I told the Reds, I said, hey, regardless of how this comes out, I'm not going to play no more. My shoulder's where I can't throw and so forth. And that's one thing you had to do. So I think I'm just going to hang them up. And they said, well, we might have something for you when this time comes and we could sit down and talk about it. Like, we might add a couple of new scouts on. We don't have that many anyway. That'd be one thing. And then the other might be that we're going to have a team probably up in New York Penn League, and we might even consider you to be a manager of one of those teams. And so I told them I'd let them know when it was all over and to see how it went. So after it was over, I just happened to be down in Portsmouth, Ohio, which is only 10 miles from here. And I happened to run into Branch Rickey, the guy that's probably done more for baseball than anybody I know. And I kind of ran it by him. And he said, well, let's put it this way. If you take that managing job and you don't have good players, you're not going to be around long. You're going to get fired. If you take that scouting job and you do a good job and work hard and set up your territory and make a lot of good contacts, you might have a job for the rest of your life. So I called the Red and said, hey, if that scouting job is going to be open, I'll take that job. And that's kind of where it started.
Well, what were some of the places that you went to in search of players?
Well, I went way down the hills of West Virginia. I went all around over the state of Kentucky, Indiana, and Michigan, places where I'd never been in my life. Even went to over in Canada a few times. And I ran a lot of tryout camps in the summertime. I'd see every game that I could see. And, of course, in Ohio, too, I'd been all over that. And that's where it really got to be a success, is when I ran those tryout camps.
What was it like being on the road that much? How did your family feel about all that traveling?
I'd played some, and they'd been used to me being gone. And, of course, you know, my wife, she was really a lady that just put up with a lot of things. I kept in touch wherever I was at. I always called her in the morning, and I called her at night.
Gene, when you would scout a player, what kinds of things were you looking for?
I kind of went by knowing Mr. Rickey. I used a lot of his ideas that he had told me, and I know he'd really been one of the, well, probably the greatest men in the history of the game. And everything is named Branch Rickey. And what I did, I looked for, one, a guy that could really run and throw. Because like he said, if that guy ever hits, you ain't got a player, you got a star. Then I look for a guy that had size. I look for a guy that had agility. I look for a guy that had bat speed, quick bat. And then, back then, we had a little eye test machine that we gave every player that we signed, that eye test machine. And that was kind of the thing that I did. And then the other thing is just see as many players as you can see, but also work out as many players as you can work out.
So you had to check their vision, Gene, to make sure they could see.
That's right, because if you can't see, you're going to have double hitting. And, you know, years ago, when I started scouting back then, you know, with the Reds, we did not sign players that didn't have good vision.
Now, Gene, to you, when you were picking a player, when you were looking at a player, what was more important to you, his statistics or the gut feeling that you got based on your observations of watching him play? What played a bigger role in picking a player?
I never really looked much at stats, because when you're looking at amateur players, you ask yourself a question, how many guys that this guy's hit against that went to the big leagues? And usually the answer is none. So what you're doing, you're looking at a player that never hit against anybody that could really pitch like you want to see in the big leagues. So those are the things that I really went on is size and speed and agility, quick bat.
Gene, who were some of the players you signed during your career with the Reds?
I signed a pitcher named Don Gullett. I think he still is one of the great pitchers the Reds ever had. He blew an arm out, a shoulder out, and of course, he finished up probably at a young age of maybe 27, 28 years old. But he pitched in the big leagues right out of high school, 60 days right out of high school in the big leagues for the Reds. And then I signed a player that was elected to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame last year, a couple years ago, Barry Larkin. Chris Sabo, that was the rookie of the year with the Cincinnati Reds. I signed Paul Neal, the outfielder with the Cincinnati Reds. I signed Charlie Liebrandt, after we had traded him, was the MVP in the World Series 1 year. Jeff Russell, four times in the All-Star game, and Skeeter Barnes, Dave Tomlin, the list just goes on and on.
Was there ever a player you scouted where you knew immediately when you watched him that this guy would be a Hall of Famer someday?
The only two players that I felt would really be a Hall of Famer was Don Gullett and Barry Larkin. I think Barry Larkin, from the day you saw him, I saw Barry Larkin when he probably was 13, 14 years old play. By accident, I saw him play, but I never forgot that guy. And he's a Hall of Famer on the field, and he's a Hall of Famer off the field, as is Don Gullett.
You said by accident you saw Barry Larkin play?
Yeah, my son lives in Ison, Kentucky. And it was on like 4th of July. And I went up to my son's, and he told me there was a baseball game down in Central Park in Iceland. And he said, but now they're all just real young kids. So I said, well, I've been gone for a while. I don't need to see that if they're young. And then we got talking. I said, yeah, let's go down. So we went down there, and I saw this little shortstop out there make two plays that looked like Davy Concepcion. And I told my son, I says, hey, go and ask that scorekeeper what this guy's name is. So he came back and said, his name's Perry Larkin, and he's just going to be a freshman, I think, in high school. I said, good.
Now, was there ever a player who got away who you couldn't get to join the Reds and you just said, darn, I missed him?
Yeah, I had two or three players. One was Derek Jeter. I had Derek Jeter, didn't have him sign, but I had him agree to sign. And all we had to do was take him in the draft, and we were about the fifth pick in the country. And we didn't take him. We took Chad Mottola. So the answer to that is Jeter's going to be a Hall of Famer, too. And then I had a pitcher named John Smoltz that our people didn't take because he was a short arm a little bit. And John Smoltz also has got a chance to be a Hall of Famer.
Gene, what would you say to someone who says, you know, I'd like to go into scouting? Would you have any advice for them?
Yes, I would. I would say if you're going to go into scouting, it's just kind of like in a player. In a player, you look for a guy that's got good makeup and so forth. And I think in scouting, number one, you got to know that you, to be successful, you're going to be on the road just day after day after day in the summertime. And you're going to have vision, excellent vision, to where that you can see a guy out here play and say, boy, that kid can do this or he can do that. Or he's got something physically that you can help him with. One would be maybe not quite so agile, some things like this. Or you might say, you know, that guy's a shortstop, but he can't play shortstop. Put him out in center field. If I'm going to work him out, I'm going to work him out as a center fielder. And things like that. And if you don't have that vision, you're probably going to have a hard time putting together a good string of players.
What have you been doing since you retired from scouting?
Well, I've been keeping busy. I've always made some talks about the Reds and so forth in the summertime and even the wintertime. And I do that sometime, maybe like a couple times a month. And then I still go with the Reds on the Reds Caravan, which I went on that thing since it was formed way back in the 70s. And then we just finished up here in Portsmouth. We just finished up a Gene Bennett Classic, baseball classic, for Legion Age players. And we brought in teams from all over the country, including Canada for that thing. And then I spent a little time, not that much. I got a Gene Bennett scholarship. And we've got something like 43 or 4 kids in Shawnee State University here in Portsmouth, Ohio. And I spent a little time with that, and I keep busy. I got the little league guys up the street, mess around with them a little bit, because all the little league parks here are named Gene Bennett Park. So I go up there and see those guys, and I have fun doing that.
Well, Gene, thank you. It was really a pleasure talking to you. I enjoyed it. Enjoyed hearing about your career and enjoyed meeting you.
Yes, I appreciate you all calling me and thinking about it. I know I always tell people, I just hope that I've given back to the Reds as much as the game has given to me, because they've been good to me over all my years that I've been in baseball, and they'll always be the number one team, and they got great people down there. Walt Jocket, he's a great guy. Bob Castellini is an absolute great human being, and he's a great owner, and you know, I miss those people.
That was Gene Bennett, who retired from the Cincinnati Reds after decades with the organization and is staying busy in the Portsmouth, Ohio area. You can find a link to two of the baseball groups he supports, the Gene Bennett Classic and the Wheelersburg Little League, at WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Mark Haney.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down.